the non-gun owning community, that might be right, that they'll have no impact. But to gun owners, which are millions in America, and you see the naked attack on the Second Amendment, that has an impact. And we have 8 million new gun owners in America. That's so far. By the time we get to Election Day, that number could be 14 or 15 million brand new gun owners in America. They vote. You have to be of voting age to buy a firearm. So that's where it starts. The DTE Common Sense Hotline this Friday is the same as it was Thursday, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Tony is on the line, calling in from Florida today. Tony, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I thought you can't own a gun in New York City, legally.
You can own a gun, you just can't transport it anywhere, basically. Very strict limitation where you can buy it. I don't know how you get it home, exactly, but the limitations are there because John Roberts is a spineless jellyfish, last time I looked, and so there's the problem. What's your other question?
Well, my thing is that, I mean, if how can you have so many people being shot up if, theoretically, you're not, you know, the gun restrictions are so tight.
Yeah. Guns are illegal in Chicago, too.
Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, all these major cities, California the same way.
And by the way, and thanks for the phone call, Tony, I greatly appreciate it. The same thing in Portland, Oregon, where the violence and the murder rate has skyrocketed this year. And the mayor there and the police chief talking about bringing back their anti-gun, anti-gang measures. They were talking about defunding the police, and then they looked at their murder rate, which has gone up dramatically. In fact, just last night, riots in the streets again, and they attacked the police precinct and tried to set the place on fire while blocking the doors with people trapped inside. Pretty incredible, right? Yeah, the mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler, finally says, you know, this isn't a protest. This is attempted murder. No kidding. In fact, we've got a little comment from Mayor Wheeler in Portland, 70 days on in his protests and rioting and Black Lives Matter riots in the streets. Bite number 11 with the mayor. Listen to this.
Last night, 200 to 300 people went to East Precinct intent on violence. The purpose was to attack the East Precinct facility and the people therein. When I say violence, I'm not talking about vandalism. I mean specifically the intent to commit violence against people. Exits were blocked. They were barricaded shut with cars and with 2x4s. Security cameras were disabled and accelerants were used to set and grow fires. The attack was immediate. It was intentional and it was planned. It was intended to cause serious injury or death, and it very well could have. After the events I described above, CS gas was used. CS gas was authorized by every agency involved, and its use was consistent with the threshold Governor Brown, Commissioner Hardesty, and I previously established.
So they're trying to burn down a police precinct, having jammed wood in the doors and blocking the exits with 20 police officers inside. Do you really see America voting to be Portland? I certainly don't. Do you see America wanting to say, hey, you know, I want some of that for my town. I wish I lived in Portland. I wish I owned a business in downtown Portland, Oregon right now. Man, that would be great. Yeah, I don't hear that. Meanwhile, how bad are things for Nancy Pelosi? Well, she's accusing Judy Woodruff of PBS of being a shill for the Republicans. I mean, come on. Yeah, she's accusing Judy Woodruff of PBS of being a shill for the Republicans. You got to hear it. It's bite number 10. Listen to this. Bite 10. Go.
The other point Republicans are making is they are now showing flexibility in money for state and local governments. This is, again, a difference. Democrats want more money. Republicans want a lot less. They are saying they're willing to show flexibility. And they're also saying a lot of the money that was passed in the spring, Madam Speaker, has not even been spent yet.
Well,
so
if you want to be an advocate for them, Judy, if you want to be an advocate for them,
no, I'm,
let's know
I'm,
what the facts are.
I'm playing
are.
Devil's advocate
no,
here
no,
I... to ask you for your position.
Can you imagine Nancy Pelosi actually accusing PBS of being advocates for the Republicans, for being a shill for the Republicans? Come on. I mean, come on. You're not being treated fairly on PBS, Nancy? Come on. Be serious. By the way, the president traveled to Ohio yesterday to share some good news about manufacturing and jobs and everything that's going on there. Talking about the economy and promises kept. Bite number nine for the president. Bite number nine. Go.
The duty of a president is to put this nation's own citizens first. That's why my administration swears by two simple but crucial rules: buy American and hire American. And no one knows better than the workers of Whirlpool the high cost of past administrations' economic blunders and surrender. On the question of foreign trade, previous leaders were guided by a shameful policy of capitulation, submission, and retreat.
But we don't do that anymore now, do we? No, we do not. Anyhow, the president was out talking to Whirlpool, who said the Trans-Pacific Partnership would have put that factory and other Whirlpool factories, seven across the nation, out of business. Would have put them out of business altogether. You know, so well-received in Ohio, to say the least. We've got a lot going on here today. I mean, can you imagine a more busy news week? Joe Biden stepping on his tongue six or eight times. The president traveling. Of course, you've got the Veep Stakes, the Attorney General of New York trying to destroy the National Rifle Association, and so much more. How do you keep up on it all? Well, you stop here every day, for starters. You come here every day and get your day rolling. You can find out more at stevegruber.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Steve Gruber Show. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Parler, Instagram, all of it. We're here to help you out and try to sort through the noise. Plus, yellowgrade.com. Yellowgrade.com, a place where you can grade your news and figure out what the best sources are. Yellowgrade.com, check that out as well. A quick break on the program. We'll be back with sports after this.
And if you walk, you're going to get there. I'm going to take some
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.